God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Today, I'd like to talk with you about peace, the ending of the storm, the coming of a great tranquility, serenity, and calm between us and God, and also a peace and a quiet tranquility in your soul through His Christ. Did Jesus come to bring you peace? Peace between you and God, peace in your souls. Let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us about peace through His Christ, whom we're celebrating this Advent, this Christmas, this every day of our lives, this season until Christ comes. What can we say today about peace for your encouragement in Jesus? First of all, let me ask this question. Did Jesus really come to bring us peace, and is He actually the God of peace? Say the word peace so I know you're with me.
Peace.
Thank you. Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them as light shined. And then we read, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus Christ is the God of peace. God the Father is as well, and the Holy Spirit as well. But He is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end, says the next line. Namely, His kingdom as well is peace. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He will establish peace in the world. Did that actually happen in Jesus Christ? Did He come to bring us peace? Well, we read in the New Testament, if you jump over here to Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angels said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Jesus came to bring peace. Let's talk today about that. Now, why did we need peace? Did we have peace before Jesus came to the earth? Actually, no, says the scripture, not at all. Instead, between us and God, there existed a state of war. Can you say those words, state of war?
State of war.
A state of war existed between the Creator and His creation, between God and man, between the Almighty and you and me. A state of war existed before Christ came. Why? Because we were in league with three of God's and Christ's enemies. We were in league with sin, we were in league with the devil, and we were in league with death. And all three of those are seditious traitors, rebels, enemies of God, and we being in them were traitors, rebels, and enemies of God. A state of war existed between God and man on account of these. Let's consider sin. First, Isaiah 59, God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand isn't shortened that it can't save, or His ear dull that it can't hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness." That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we read, Paul says, "You were," past tense, "before Christ, dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the passions of our flesh, the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So a state of war existed between God and man over sin, number one. Secondly, because we were in league with the devil. That's what the Bible says. We followed the course of this world, Ephesians 2, followed the prince of the power of the air. It's the devil. the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's why Jesus could say to the Jews, as well as to the Gentiles, in John 8, he said to the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He's a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth. So he's a liar and a murderer, and so are you, because you follow him. We were at odds with, a state of war existed between us and God, armed conflict. Thirdly, we were in league with death. For sin came into the world, Romans 5 says, and death through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned. And Romans 5:12 says, death reigned over us. It was our king, in other words, our captain. We were following after, hard-pressed under death. Therefore, there was no peace before Christ came. No peace for us. With God, a state of warfare existed. So you can call it war on the one hand, but you can also call it a storm, because that's the opposite of peace, right? A storm! Howling hurricane! A scolding nor'easter, a blast of wind in our faces, pelting rain, soaking us down through our oil skins into our bones, making us shiver with the cold, tossed about on the winds and the sea of this storm that we had in four directions. What four ways did we have no peace? Number one, we had no peace with God, as I said. We had war in our relationship with him, as between two countries or two parties. A state of war existed between God and man over these. And then secondly, we also had no peace in our ways. Our ways were ways of storm. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, of the wicked in their paths are ruin and misery, the way of peace they don't know. There's no fear of God before their eyes. So our storms, our ways were turbulent, tossed, dark, and sinister seas, throwing us this way and that, were the ways we had before Christ came. Thirdly, not just our relationship or our ways, but there was no peace in our hearts, number three. In our minds, in our souls, we had no peace before Christ came, but a storm. Even Job said at one point in Job 3, he says, I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. Isn't that what it is? Inside, if you have no peace, it's a storm. You're raging. You're thrown this way and that. There's no quiet. There's no peace. There's no ease, but turbulent hurricane. And fourthly, there was no peace in our destiny to which we were bound. Namely, we were bound towards hell. Because Isaiah 10, God said to the people, what will you do on the day of punishment in the storm which will come from afar? Namely, my wrath on the day of God Almighty when I judge you. What shall become of you? Revelation says, the smoke of the torments of the wicked shall go up forever and ever, and they'll have no rest. What is that? A storm. Tossed to and fro, it says, they'll have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast in its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Before Christ came, therefore, there was no peace, but rather a raging hurricane. Can you just feel that with me for a moment? That you and I were like a little ship tossed about on the sea. Can you hear the roaring of the waves, the thundering of the clouds, the black clouds? Can you hear a blast screaming in your ears of a scolding and howling nor'easter such that you can't hardly hear a thing? It's rage and warfare, storm. You are tossed this way and that. Feel the cold penetrating down to your bones, shivering from the wet and the pelting rain. And what you could see was just black clouds, ocean after ocean of rolling waves heading towards you to sink you down to the depths. Jeremiah says, the Lord has doomed us to perish because we've sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. We looked for healing, but behold, terror. And God says in Isaiah 57, the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot rest. Its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Okay, so a state of war and the state of a storm existed before Christ came. Did that change when this little babe was born in Bethlehem? When Jesus came to us, Zechariah chapter 9 says, "Behold, your king has come to you, righteous, having salvation, and he will command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Jesus came, friends, to give you peace, to end the state of war, and to cause the storm to say, "Peace, be still," and to give you a quiet, serene sea. First of all, in your relationship with God. And how did he do it? Jesus came actually to give you peace through words of war, to call us out from sin. Do you remember when Jesus came, he says, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. From now on, I'll set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother," etc. What is Jesus saying? You're on a ship. You're in a terrible storm because of sin. I'm calling you out of that to me. In me, you will find peace. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, for the first enemy, sin, if you come to me, I will speak to it and deal with it, that I say, "Peace be still," and the wild waves will be hushed. So remember when people did come to Christ, confessing their sins, even before he went to the cross, he said things to them like this: "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in turmoil and storm." No. "Go in peace. A quiet hush come over your soul, for you've come to the Savior," right? And he came to conquer also the devil. We know that. For the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The devil is the one who causes storms. Ultimately, just like he did with Job, and he sent those that wild, terrible weather to destroy everything he had. Well, the devil tries to do that to us too. Christ comes to end that storm, the devil's, to kill him through his work on the cross, and then to destroy death for us. Jesus went to the cross to destroy our third enemy. For since the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. To bring us peace through his atoning blood upon the cross, to end the warfare between you and God, to set you free and to bring you out of the storm and rage of warfare and armed conflict into quietness and peace. A treaty, or actually a covenant of peace with you through his Christ. Do you have peace today, therefore, with God? Let me ask you that. Between your relationship with the Almighty, between your Creator and you, is there peace in you and that relationship personally? The Bible says, "No, assuredly, if you have come to Christ and believed on him, that is the state that now exists." Colossians 1:19, just hear what the Bible says about that. Paul says in verse 19, "In him, for in him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Isn't that great? Think about this. A stormy sea you had in your relationship with God, and he said, "Peace, be still. My blood atones for these things. I pay for all of your crimes. And the state of war between God and man, I put an end to by my precious blood." Are you reconciled to God today? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Paul says he is our peace. He's broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile both Jew and Gentile to God in one body through the cross. Therefore, bringing the hostility, the state of war, to an end between Jew and Gentile, between God and man. And he preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Do you feel that today? Do you experience that? Do you feel like you're still at war with God and God with you? God says in Scripture, that state of war, if you are in Christ, has ceased. For Peter says, you know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day, made him manifest, and he commanded us to preach to the people, to testify he's the one ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name, i.e. warfare over, God says. Peace established and an eternal friendship with God through his Christ. Do you believe that today? Are my feet beautiful up here? Have you seen my feet today? I'm publishing peace, friends. And the Bible says my feet, therefore, today are beautiful. Hear it as good news. A state of peace exists. Comfort, comfort my people, Isaiah 40. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. And Romans 5 says, therefore, since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has come to give you and me peace, and you have it if you have faith in Jesus Christ. He's given you faith. A state of peace now exists in your relationship with God. Peace be still, a quiet of the storm. You and God are friends through the blood of the Savior. Hooray for that. Amen? Amen. So you have peace, number one, in your state of peace between you and God. Let's look at a second state of peace, though. Emotionally, do you guys have peace in your hearts, in your minds, in your souls? Or is there still a raging storm inside of you? Yes, you have a relationship with God, a state of peace, no more warfare, but how about your soul? Does Jesus give you peace in your heart and mind as well? Here's where a lot of Christians pretty much fall off the bandwagon, amen? Don't you all feel storms in you every day? Well, I'm not calling you to be statues. We do experience all kinds of things in the world. Okay, you're going to experience that. But predominantly, Jesus wants you to experience peace. That passes all understanding. In your hearts and minds, he wants to give that to you too. What happens is we don't have peace whenever we get worried about something or fearful about something or unsettled or anxious or angry or disturbed. Inside, you might have peace with God, but you still feel turmoil, storm, tempest, a howling nor'easter, no rest day or night. Do you feel like that sometimes? Well, it's part of human existence. Let's see if we can understand this better, though. Why don't you have peace in your heart? God, Jesus wants to give it to you. Well, what are your standards for feeling peaceful? What are your rules? What has to happen for you to feel peaceful? A lot of us are going to say, well, I need peace outwardly in everything I see. Then I'll feel peaceful. For example, how about America? Do you feel peaceful about America? When America, you know, I grew up with Stars and Stripes and Red, White, and Blue and Old Glory and Mom and Apple Pie and baseball. When America returns to that and stops all this corruption and madhouse craziness in the high places, then I'll have peace, Pastor. If I'm a prophet, I don't even have to be. I can tell you right now, if that's your rule for happiness and peace, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. It's not going to happen. I'll be happy and peaceful, Pastor, when justice is served. All these terrible people in high places, the Epstein files, they need to come out. These people need to be brought to justice. I'll be peaceful then when justice is served. Good luck with that. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to be peaceful. That's your rule. Oh, when everybody starts treating each other nicely, because I'm so upset in the community, everybody's so mean to each other. Did you see what so-and-so said to so-and-so at work? I'm so angry. What a storm. If they only got along, I'd be peaceful. Well, good luck with that one. But that's going to be fully done. Or my family is always all together perfectly, and my health is perfect. I'll be peaceful when my eye is fixed, right? I'll be peaceful when my aching back finally feels good or my knees don't hurt. Then I'll be peaceful, Pastor. Uh-oh. That's your rule? You're probably never going to be happy. or settled in your life. You won't know that peace that Christ wants to give you. What does Jesus say in John 14? He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What is Jesus telling us there? He wants to give us a peace in our hearts and minds and souls, not as the world gives. What's the world's peace come from? Outward circumstances. What's the weather look around me like in America, in my community, in my health, and in justice, and in everything like that? I need peace outwardly, then I'll feel peace inwardly. Jesus says, no. In the world, you have tribulation, a storm. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I've said that to you that in me you might have peace. Where do we find our peace? And the outward storms of life have to all quiet down and then we'll feel peaceful? No. Jesus says you're going to have storms, tribulation. Find your peace in me, and I'll give you peace in the middle of storms. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. Think about that. Today, God wants to give you, Jesus, to give you peace be still in your soul while storms rage around you all outside. How do you get that? Well, one thing is to pray about it. Philippians 4, don't have anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then what? Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Set your mind on the things that are true, just, lovely, gracious, and the God of peace will be with you. You've got to guard your heart and mind. So pray about it, give thanks, put it in God's hands, he'll give you peace. But here's another thing to give you a peace in your storm. Outward storms, peace inside. Are you listening? Change your rules. What has to happen before you allow yourself to feel peaceful? Does America have to be perfect? Does your family and the community have to be perfect? Does your health have to be perfect? These outward storms? No. Change your rules to be about Jesus and his promises to you, and then you can have peace in the middle of your storms. Amen?
Yep.
Check it out. I wrote down a few rules. Let's try these out for size. See if this might work better for you. My rule is for me to feel peaceful and happy in my life, I need three things fulfilled in any situation. Number one, I need to know that God is with me. Secondly, I need to know that God is for me. And thirdly, I need to know that God will be with me in it to help me and bring me to final victory. If I can meet those three goals, I'll have happiness and peace in the middle of my storm because I know who's with me on the boat. Well, can we bank on those things? What's your storm today? Let's go down the checklist. Can you believe that God is actually truly with you in Christ? Jesus promised you, I'm with you always to the close of the age. I'm on your boat. Can you find some peace in that? In your storms? Who cares what the nor'easters do? Who cares about the rain? Who cares about the squalls and the winds that are coming and the turbulent waves? If Jesus is on your boat, I'm with you. That's number one. Secondly, do I know that God is really for me? That Jesus is for me? Well, Psalm 56. This I know, that God is for me. And God, whose word I praise, I'll trust and not be afraid. What can man do to me? Or let's change that to, what can anything do to me if God be for me? Who can be against me? Think about that. If Jesus is on my boat in my storm today, whatever it is, and he's with me, and he's for me, which I know he is in Jesus Christ, then I can feel peaceful right now, as the apostles were supposed to in their storm when Jesus was asleep on a cushion. Look, the God who can change, stand up and calm the storm and with a word is on your boat. What are you not peaceful about, friends? And thirdly, can you believe that he's going to be with you in your storm on your boat to help you and bring you through and bring you out to final victory? He promises again in Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And thanks be to God, says Paul, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. So try that for your new set of rules, do you think? Make those your standards for peace. And then you will begin to see the outward storms. Hey, I can ride these waves with joy. It's just fun. I'll laugh at the clouds. I will enjoy the spray. For God says, they may fight against you, Jeremiah, but they shall not prevail against you, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Come on, friends. If Jesus is with you, for you, and is helping you to victory through the outward storms, even if they rage, you have peace today in Him. You can even start to enjoy the storms. Look at Micah. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. He'll bring me forth to light. I shall behold His deliverance. Paul was surrounded by enemies, a terrible storm of adversaries to destroy him once. He says, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for His heavenly kingdom. He's with me, He's for me, and I'm coming out to victory. Praise God, I have peace. And one more thing about Stephen. I mean, the guy's getting stoned, okay? It's the end for him. And what do we see? He had the face, as it were, of an angel. A quiet tranquility, a serene face as from above, because his focus was on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Thou dost keep him in perfect peace, says Isaiah, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusts in thee. The Lord, trust in him forever, for he is an everlasting rock. All right, you got it? So you got a state of peace in your relationship with God, warfare over peace there. You got a state of peace in your soul, and even if outward storms still rage, if we keep our eyes on Him. And then thirdly and lastly, we have a state of peace before us on the horizon. What is that? I declare to you, by the word of the Lord, the end of all storms, outward as well, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He returns. He's going to make everything perfect outside too. Your eyes are going to be fixed, your back, your knees, the country, because the country will be His country. He shall reign over it with true serving of justice, and He'll make that fruitful field to be deemed then even into a forest. The effect of His righteousness shall be peace. The result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. Picture that, quietness and trust forever. For my people, God promises and declares, will abide in peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places when His kingdom comes. Of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end upon the throne of David, and over His kingdom to establish it and uphold it with righteousness and justice from this time forth and forevermore. And who's going to bring that to us? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So let's rejoice today in the state of peace between us and God, the state of peace which He works in our souls as we trust in Him, and the state, our country of peace that's coming at the return of our Lord, even everything outward perfect forever. Praise you, Jesus. You are our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our, say it with me,
Prince of Peace.